Mark chapter 1. The title of this morning's sermon is A Fearful Diagnosis. This is the last sermon out of chapter 1. Starting in verse number 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze it abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, and was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes to see your word this morning, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to set aside the things that may be weighing upon us, the things of the world, the things in our life, the things that we are trying to work through, Lord. And today, in this moment, in this morning, may we focus wholly and solely upon your word. As we read the account of your mighty works, as we read the account in confirmation, proving to us, Lord, that you are the great physician, Lord. This morning, I pray that we see more than clearly that what our condition was, once before you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those who are saved. We can praise you for what our condition is now before you, that we too are cleansed. Lord, I thank you this morning for all that you've done. We lift you up, we praise you and exalt you. How wonderful you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I can only wonder what the Romans were thinking as they heard this gospel being read. As they read this gospel and as they were taking into thought all the things that they were reading about our Jesus. I can only wonder what they thought as they read that all that Jesus had done, all that Jesus was doing. I wonder when they made it to this point in the gospel, were they sitting at the tip of their seat wondering what Jesus would do next, wondering what great miracle would be performed next. I would bet they would say, just like we should be today, as we read this gospel, tell us more about our Jesus. Tell us more about this Jesus. The Romans during this time, the only person that they were supposed to draw their eyes to, Rome said, draw your eyes, feast your eyes upon our great man named Caesar. This is who Rome wanted them to worship. This is who Rome wanted all of their citizens to focus on. This is who Rome wanted them to consider as their God. They wanted them to behold Caesar. And as they was reading this gospel that Mark had pinned down, I bet they began to wonder, our Caesar has never cast out any demons. Our Caesar has never removed any unclean spirits. Our Caesar has never healed a man. Our Caesar has never removed a fever from anyone. Yes, Caesar can say, worship me. And Caesar may be willing to receive the worship. But the one thing we know this morning, and the one thing I bet Rome could see this when they read this gospel, that though Caesar was willing to receive the worship, he was not worthy of the worship. When they read this gospel, when we read this gospel, we should be so excited when we read about our Savior, when we read about the power that rests in his hand, when we read about the power that rests in his word, when we read about the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is who we should worship. This is who our attention should be drawn John 2. As we've worked through this first chapter, we've seen how Jesus has handled personal afflictions. He's healed those who were afflicted. We see how the Lord had healed Peter's mother-in-law, those who were suffering with personal illnesses. We've seen how Jesus was confronted in the synagogue with this man who was demon-possessed, filled with this unclean spirit. Surely, though, as we come here today, as they arrived in this portion of Mark, surely this is the worst of all. I mean, what can the Lord do with a leper? Leprosy is nothing new to them in Rome. This was not just something known amongst the Jews. This is not something that was just recorded in the Old Testament. Leprosy was a problem within the known world at this time. The Jews knew of it. The Romans knew of it. They feared this leprosy. It was a word that when they heard it, they were struck with fear. They were riveted by it to think that, is it them? Every time that they had some kind of ailment upon their skin, every time they had some kind of rash, is this it? Is this leprosy? Has it come now? Am I now going to be separated? Have I fallen sick? I feel okay, but what is this? This is the kind of fear that was driven by this word, leprosy. In researching, I was typed into the computer, what is the things that cause people most fear today? What is the diagnosis that causes people to be wrapped up in fear? The top two results came back as this. Number one being dementia. Oh, the thought of dementia, how it causes us to be so afraid, to forget all that we know, to forget all that we love, to forget all that we hold dear. The second thing that was on the list was that which we know, cancer. It strikes fear in people when you're sick, when you're feeling the ailments, when you feel the woes, when you go to the doctor. This is the last thing you want to hear them say. It is that of cancer. You have cancer. But in the time of our Lord's earthly ministry, there was nothing worse than being told, you are a leper. The diagnosis of being a leper meant that you was not only sick, but it was also meaning that you would eventually be separated. Once the diagnosis came, this was a death sentence. It was the dreadful power. It would pull you from everything you love. This little speck that started off on your body, this little dot, though it did not look to you, did not look to you as very much at first, it would be a clear indication that something was very wrong within your body. It meant that something worse was going on inside. Soon as this disease would progress, things would turn worse and worse. It was said some of the number one things, some of the number one results that would happen from you having this wretched disease, leprosy, loss of eyebrows, loss of fingers, loss of eyesight, loss of toes. Your nervous system would soon be destroyed. Your flesh would begin to soon rot on you and decay. And before long, this disease would attack your vocal cords. You could no longer cry out in misery because of what leprosy had done to you. It was altogether a dreadful diagnosis. And we think of them in such condition. It causes our hearts to break to think that we would be told that you are in this state, that you have been diagnosed with leprosy, that you too could soon prepare to lose your fingers, that you too should prepare to lose your eyebrows, your toes, all of these things, your voice, your vocal cords, all the things, just the way your body operates, your nervous system. As your nervous system went down and shut down, it was said that oftentimes when the lepers would lose their fingers, when they would lose their toes, they did not even know because their nervous system had already died in those areas. It was dreadful to be diagnosed a leper. When we think of being diagnosed with things today, cancer, when we think about being diagnosed with some kind of disease today, the number one thing that brings us encouragement is that our friends rally around us, is that our family rallies around us, that our church rallies around us to support us, to encourage us through the hard time, to tell you that everything's going to be all right, but not with this diagnosis. This diagnosis was all the more dreadful. This diagnosis meant separation. You were separated from your friends. No more fellowship with your friends. No more hanging out at their home. No more hanging out outside of the house for dinner. It was all over. It was immediately over. And even worse, your best friends who you were so close to you, who loved you so much, who thought you had this inseparable bond, they will no longer want you at their home, because the rabbinical law said if you was to even peek your head through their doorpost, their house would need to be burned. And this is how extreme this was. This is how extreme leprosy was. It was total separation. This was not the age of technology. This didn't mean I could still pick up the phone and call you. We couldn't text each other. There was no, hey, check it out via email. No, this was total separation from friends. According to Leviticus 13, everything that had come into contact with this plague should be treated with one thing: fire. It would be burned. Separated from friends would be your condition. Separated from family. No more time with your brothers. No more time with your sisters. No more time celebrating mom's birthday or dad's birthday. It over. No more time thinking about earning a fortune. You can no longer work. And if during the early stages you could work, no one would want you working near them. Earning a fortune, earning money for your family is now impossible. Listen, leprosy didn't only come to people who were single. They came to fathers of many. They came to mothers of many. It came to the children, the child of one. This is all we have is one child, and now what? They are a leper. But it still brought the same separation. Now the fortune was gone. Now what about faith? They would no longer be able to go to the church. They would no longer be able to go to the synagogue. They were completely separated. They could no longer gather together in worship because they were a leper. You was forced to live outside of the walls, forced to live in a community of lepers. If you decided to break the law and you wanted to come back inside of the city walls, you just wanted to stop by and see your family. If you wanted to just draw close to your mom again, just close, not to where you touch her, but just come within 50 cubits of her. You just wanted to see her one last time. You would be stoned and burned. There was no breaking this law. If you didn't keep the proper distancing, if you didn't have your clothes properly torn, if you did not shout out, unclean, unclean, which I don't think it was like that. You know, we say this like unclean, unclean, but it was more like unclean because they couldn't even speak. Think about the depression. Think about how bad the situation was. This man who came to Jesus was broken. He couldn't even cry out like we cry out. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. My wife wishes right now I couldn't complain about my knee because every room I go to, I whine. This man was struggling. He was in great pain. He was losing everything that he loved dear. It could not even properly cry out about it. This was a death sentence. As you moved about, as this disease attacked you, while you cried out, you would have your clothes torn, no more hugs, no more squeezing your children tight. It was a disease that destroyed the heart as much as it did the flesh. What more could be said about this? It was a dreadful state. Though in your mind you would say, how painful. Though there may have been times and oftentimes that they could have been in immense pain, realize that many times they didn't even realize the parts of their own physical body that they were losing. They were literally falling apart. As we come into verse 40, think about this leper. Think about the condition of what it means to be a leper. And in verse 40 it says, and there came a leper to him. This man was broken. He may not even have looked like the person he once did. He may not have sounded like the person that he once did. But the news of Jesus had spread. His fame had spread. Imagine the news when it reached the leper colony. Imagine how the emotions that overcame this leper when he heard the news that there was a man in Capernaum who could cast out spirits. There was a man in Capernaum who could raise the dead. There was a man in Capernaum who could perform great miracles. Imagine the emotions that came over this leper when this news came to his ears. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's healing. He's not only healing, he's healing the thousands. But here, this is the first recording we have of Jesus' encounter with a leper. I wonder when this news made it to the leper's ear on his way to Jesus. Maybe the leper said, He healed a man that was sick. He healed one that had a fever. He casted out unclean spirits. Have you heard? Did he heal any lepers? Has he healed any lepers? Has he made any lepers whole? Can he heal me? Look at me. I am in the worst stage of leprosy. I no longer have a spot. This loathsome disease has had its way in me. It has rained havoc upon me. When you read about this specific account in Luke chapter 5, when he spoke of this specific account, Luke, the doctor says, this physician Luke says, that this man that came to Jesus, when he opens it up to tell us about this, he says, behold, a man who was full of leprosy. This man was not in the beginning stages. This man that came to Jesus was in the most advanced stages of leprosy. His condition was bad. And here we see, and there came a leper to him. What would this leper do with all the restrictions? A leper knows if he was to come too close, it could surely mean that he would be stoned. If he was to come too close and touch him, surely it would mean death. But maybe he has to draw close to the Lord as he can't cry out because his voice has been wrecked and caused havoc by this loathsome disease. And I wonder, as the crowd seen this leper come in, I wonder if there was, oh, it's a leper. Did they begin to cover their mouth? Did they begin to stop breathing? Did they turn faces? Did they begin to run away from him as they feared this? Look, a leper is now in it, entered into our circle. And as this leper violates restrictions, what will Jesus do? This man in this condition came, and he came close to Jesus. And with what voice he had left, riddled with the effects of this loathsome disease, came beseeching him, calling him, inviting him, while he is kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. With all the voice he had, while breaking all the rules, he drew close to the one he knew that could help him. He believed Jesus could help him. Now, some may say, if I ever had such a terrible diagnosis, if I ever had such a terrible diagnosis, if someone had ever told me this was my true condition, I also would break the rules. If I heard that there was this Jesus down there that could heal me, I too would break the rules. I too would draw close to him, regardless of what the crowd said, regardless of what anybody said. I would make a beeline to him. When we view ourselves, if we was in that condition today, would we not say, if that was my state, I would get to Jesus. I would get to the cure. I would want the help to be made whole again. I would want to do whatever I could to be with my family again, to be with my friends again. I would do whatever I could to be able to be with the congregation of people again. But this text leads us to see something special today. We see the effects that leprosy had on someone. We see that this man came to Jesus because he recognized his condition. He's seen his plight. He knew his sins. It was ever before him. Oh, that we would all see this, and that there was a sentence before all of us. That all time, that at a time in our lives, that at all time in our lives, when we was without Christ, we too were spiritual lepers. Could I tell you this morning that sin is not much different than leprosy? Its effects, as it comes to full exposure, as it begins to work within us, oh, the condition of this man, he was full of leprosy. And while it is true that in this moment that he came to Jesus, that he was full of leprosy, as we read earlier, leprosy did not start off this way. First, it started off working within your body. And then when it was working in your body, it began to manifest itself slowly. First, it was a speck, a little dot. And then before you know it, it spread throughout your whole body. Just a little white dot. Just a little bit. Maybe even more, as we said, it started within. But the result of what was happening on the inside, the changes of what was happening on the inside, would soon be manifested in the flesh. It was so small that the people could see, but how the disease had already ravaged the body. When it first came to light, like I said, it was a speck. But time, untreated, without intervention, this speck is a death sentence. And so is sin in our lives. The Bible says in James 1:15, then when the lust hath conceived, it bringeth, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Yes, leprosy is a death sentence. And yes, also, so is sin. So though it may start off in our life, its presence in our life may be so very small. And yes, you may say, well, nobody knows about the sin that I have in my life. If someone was to observe my life physically, they'll not see no presence of sin because I'm still walking the line. But we know long before sin ever makes its appearance in our physical behavior, it has taken root in our heart. And long before leprosy, long before this man had become full of leprosy, this wretched disease had begun to work inside of his body. So that in his sin starts off small, its presence in our life is the death sentence. And it continues to spread, progressively getting worse, like leprosy. Once the diagnosis is given, you know what happens? Like leprosy, you're diagnosed and you're separated from all. Like leprosy, when you've been diagnosed with sin, you also experience separation. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Sin has caused separation from God. It was sin that brought the fall. It is our sin today that separates us from God. This is the diagnosis of all mankind in the eyes of God. You may look good to your friends. You may have a good name at work. People may praise you for your abilities, whether it be mechanical, whether it be electrical, whether it be your accounting. People may praise you in this world for the positions that you hold. But according to God, for those who have not repented and placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they too are a spiritual leper. They too look like they have this loathsome, dreadful disease before the eyes of our almighty, righteous God. We are all, without Christ, spiritual lepers. But as laid out in Leviticus, there is a way for someone to be allowed back in with the people. There is a way, according to the book of Leviticus, for people to be allowed back in with the congregation. They must first appear before the priest and be diagnosed as clean. There is a way for us who are spiritual, for those who are spiritual lepers, to be acceptable in God's sight. There is a way for those who have been separated separated, for those who have been removed, for those who have been pronounced unclean, to be pronounced clean, to be pronounced clean again. And that is through our great high priest, Jesus Christ. And we read this story and say, oh, this leper, how terrible, how tragic, how sad it is that this man is a leper. But the truth is, at least he's seen himself in his condition. He's seen himself in his plight. The question is, we must ask ourselves, have you seen yourself today? Have you seen yourself for not how you see yourself in the mirror, not for how the world praises you? Have you looked in the scriptures and says, this is how God sees me. I was a leper until Jesus saved my soul. Maybe you've been justified before God through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, but there may be some here in this building who have never realized that you too are a spiritual leper. You may ask yourself, and say, well, you know what, I'm really not that bad. All I have is just this little spot. All I have is just this little blemish. But the truth is, it's deep. You've been infected with this loathsome disease. It doesn't matter the status of the world. You are a leper, as once was I. This leper, realizing his condition and hearing of this Jesus, said, this is where I must go. I am going to Jesus. He came and kneeled at Jesus' feet. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He recognized the Lord for who the Lord was. He said, if thou wilt, he is the Messiah. This is Jesus. He is the one who is working all of these miracles. If you will, I'm filthy. Look at this loathsome disease. Look at my condition. Lord, would you heal someone like me? Look how far I'm gone. Look at the condition that I'm in. I am totally ate up in this state. If thou wilt, you can heal me. It was not, Lord, do you think you have the ability? It's, Lord, I know you have the ability. Will you heal me? Will you make me whole? Will you heal a leper? Maybe some in this building today struggling with their own sin, saying, I know that he is Jesus. I know that he is Messiah. But you have thoughts in your mind, will he forgive me? I've been asking the Lord. I know I'm saved. I know he's done a great work in my life. But I'm still struggling with the things that I've done. I'm still struggling with my past. I'm still struggling. Do you know what it looks like to be a failure? Do you know what it looks like to be making the one who keeps making these same mistakes? Do you think he'll really forgive me? The answer is yes. He says, wilt thou forgive me? Listen, the truth is in Jesus alone. It does not matter what bad life we have. It doesn't matter how wretched you view yourself. This leper knew who he was before the Lord, but he viewed the Lord as the answer to his condition. John 6:37 says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You may be a spiritual leper. You may view your current condition as a saved child of God, as a repetitious failure. And you refuse to come back because you say, Lord, I just can't come back because I just don't want to come back looking in this condition of failure again. The Lord says, If you come to me, I will in no wise cast you out. This leper came to Jesus, and when he came to Jesus, he kneeled at his feet and said, Lord, forgive me. Notice there's no doubt here. There's only a man who realized his condition before the Lord. But he also realized the Lord as the answer to his condition. It is one thing to look at yourself and say, it is true, I'm a sinner. It is true, I have made mistakes. I've tried to do better and still striving to do better, and while that is good, have you seen the real issue at hand? That this is the condition that we have, that we can be made whole, that we have the opportunity to be made whole, that there is a way that someone can divinely intervene, and that is Jesus. All we have to do, he'll not turn you away, just like the leper, no matter whether it's condition, no matter whether it's salvation. If we look to him and kneel to him, him and cry out to him and say, Lord, Lord, if thou wilt thou make me whole? He says in Mark 1:41, and Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. When we are on this earth, we cry, Lord, will you forgive me? Lord, I repent. Lord, will you make me whole? And the answer still today is, I will be thou clean. Lord, I know my condition before you today. I'm a leper. I know. I will heal you. Be thou clean. Lord, I have made the worst decision. Lord, I know I'm a failure. I know. Be thou clean. Luke 15:27 says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This is still how I see it today. When one comes and kneels and one cries out before God and say, Lord, will you save me? I imagine as the host of heaven begin to rejoice, as the host of heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. I think the Lord probably still saying, I will save you. Be thou clean. Saved today, but still seeing the spot of sin again. Lost, but realizing that you're a spiritual leper, the Lord bids one thing, come. Now, a lot can be said in this first sentence. A lot can be said in this first sentence here. And Jesus moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus moved with compassion, not only here, but Jesus moved with compassion during his earthly ministry. Yes, he sometimes met the physical, but the Lord was always after the spiritual. And when he ministered in his spirit, and his mode was compassion. Our ministry will be more like Christ when we conduct ourselves with compassion. Regardless of the person standing in front of us, regardless of their condition, regardless of their problems, regardless of their woes, even when we look upon them and see the woes of sin that has affected their life, when we look upon them and clearly see that they are held by Satan's devices, we should not look at them and say, well, I'm thankful that that's not me. I'm thankful that I don't struggle like that. No, we should be like Jesus and move with compassion and meet the need. Realizing that we have exactly what they need. We have a key that will deliver them from bondage. We have a key that will deliver them from sin. But they will never get it if we move the opposite in which Jesus moved in his earthly ministry. A compassionless gospel. What is that? Jesus met this leper's need. And he did it with compassion. He says here, he put forth his hand and touched him. Wait a minute. This is against the rabbinical law. As this leper moved towards Jesus and Jesus reached out his hand, I just am saying again, is he going to touch him? Is Jesus really going to touch this leper? Does he not realize how vile? Does he not realize how dirty? Does he not realize that he also could be contaminated with this loathsome disease? What is true is this is what Jesus would do. Jesus would touch him. But it's not shocking to us because we realize who Jesus is. But when you look through this carnal eyes, you would say, oh no, don't touch him. You don't know what you're getting yourself involved in. You don't understand. He is a leper. This man was so unclean. Jesus touched him. What the law had said about this man was set aside in this very moment for a redemptive purpose. The rules of law had been put on hold to reach this man in this condition. Listen, many of us have come up on an accident before and came by the scene of an accident. When we come on the scene of an accident, maybe it's in an intersection. And what happens in the scene? When we get there, we wait for a minute, and before we know it, a police officer steps out. And he signals us in which way that we should go. See, it doesn't matter what the street light says. You know why it doesn't matter what the street light says? Yeah, I mean, these are the lights. We're supposed to obey them, right? This is the law. Red light, green light, yellow. We obey this. But in the presence of the police officer, he supersedes whatever the traffic light says. Because he is the presence and in the embodiment of the law. And in this moment, and in this situation, there is a situation in which the law must be manipulated. But in order to do so, there must be someone present to supersede this law. You see, Jesus on this day was the embodiment of the law. He superseded it. We know what the rabbinical law said, but this is Jesus. He supersedes it. He embodies it. He can touch this leper. He's not breaking the law. He has superseded it because he is the embodiment of it. And he does this with compassion. His bowels yearned for this man. He could feel it within him. And this man confessed his woes, and it did something inside the Lord. It gripped him. The Lord felt with sympathy and saith unto him, I will be thou clean. You may be here saved today, born again. But when we see someone ravaged by this plague of sin, when we see someone who's been destroyed by this sin, it should make us move with compassion, not with pride, because they too are where we once was. Yes, their condition may be a little further along, but they are suffering from the same condition, spiritual leprosy. I have a message, right? This is where we are. We have a message to deliver. I have a message that if you truly repent and believe, you will be made clean. How long, one may say. When we see someone in this condition, how long? We move to them in compassion. We present the gospel message, the key to free them from this bondage, the key to free them from this condition. We go to them with compassion, and we present for them, and we say, how long? How long will it till they be made clean? How long, they may ask. The Bible says here in Mark 1:42, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. How long does it take to break the bondage of spiritual leprosy? It is immediately after the spoken word. It is immediately after the cried out. Immediately this man was changed. Immediately this man was made whole. I wonder what the crowd thought. I spent a lot of time thinking about this very moment when Jesus healed this leper. As Jesus healed this leper, this man comes to him. Maybe his face was ate up. Maybe his fingers were gone, and maybe his toes were gone. Maybe he didn't have a proper walk. All of these things. But in this moment when Jesus made him whole and he was restored, I wonder, as the crowd who's crowded around Jesus and seen him touch this leper, did they say, wait a minute, wasn't this man just a leper? All I did was blink. Did he have 10 fingers when he came here? Did he have 10 toes? He wasn't walking like that when he came up here. Wasn't his voice so raspy when he got here? And immediately, this man was made whole. He was restored. As he walked away, they may have thought, man, he has fairer skin than me. His skin's in better condition than mine. I see a man who is now made whole. Listen, the spoken word of the Lord and the touch of Jesus Christ changed his life. And once upon a time, someone opened the word of God and read it to me. And through the spoken word of God and through the movement and the touching of the Holy Spirit, I was moved from a spiritual leper to who I am today, justified before my Savior. We all have been there who are saved. Our lives are changed. We are now made whole. The Bible says here, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. While our initial response is, this is great. I mean, he went out and he told everyone, this is what Jesus would want us to do. But realize that this is not what Jesus told him to do. It is our command to go out and preach the gospel. Jesus told this man to speak it to no one, to go and appear before the priest. This was the Lord's command. This leper should have heeded God's word. Notice what the text says again. Because he published it abroad, the text says, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. Listen, it is still for us to heed the Lord's word. The Lord wanted to be in the cities, preaching in the cities. He wanted to be in the cities with the people. But when this leper did exactly what the Lord told him not to do, he traded places with the Lord. He made this more about himself. The focus was drawn again to him instead of letting the Lord do his work. You see, before this miracle, the leper was the one who dwelt in the desert places. Before this miracle, it was the Lord who dwelt in the city preaching the gospel. It was the Lord who was in the city working. But this leper had not heeded the Lord's plan. The leper was now, guess what, in the city. And the Lord, guess what, was now in the desert places working. And this is exactly what happens when we do things our way after the Lord has laid it out for us to do it this way. When we do it our way, when we say, Lord, you've saved me, you've changed my life, I have my ideas for this, I have my ideas for that, I have my ideas for ministry, I have my ideas about how I'm going to live my Christian life. You saved me, I repented of my sins, I placed my faith in you, I know you've done a mighty miracle in my life, but I'm no longer going to heed your word. I'm going to serve you, Lord, but I'm going to do it my way. When you do that, you move the Lord into the desert place because you've placed yourself in the city. This is the danger of living your Christian life your way. Never forget, you once, just like me, were a spiritual leper. God saved us. He changed us from the most wretched condition we could ever be. And when he has done this, we should heed his word. We should live our lives exactly his way. You don't have the right to live the Christian life the way you decided to. He's given us the written word. When you say, Lord, you've done a mighty work, and I'm going to live it this way, you are trying to rob God's glory. Do the work and do it his way. And when we do it his way, he will be our focus and lost souls will be saved. Let us move with compassion and say, listen, when we see this lost and dying world, when we see these people under the bridges, when we see these people who seem to be in the most wretched conditions of this world, we could say to them, listen, I was once in your condition, right? Because we once was held by the devices of Satan until what happened? You know what happened? One day, somebody came and opened the word of God, and Jesus passed by. And I repented of my sins and placed my faith in him, and I was immediately set free. This is the power of our Jesus. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done this morning, Lord. I thank you for your word that encourages me, that lifts me up, Lord. Lord, just to be reminded of all the power that rests in you is a great comfort, Lord. It gives me great confidence to cry out every day, every moment, every hour, Lord, I need thee. Help me, Lord. Lord, help us to be the light that we should be to this lost and dying world. I see throughout this first chapter, Lord, as we come to a close here,